Imran, when do you sleep? Every time I message you, you're always online.
I can't sleep. I'm living in cricket.
Too much cricket. Right, let's do the podcast. Thank you for downloading the Bungler Cricket Podcast. I'm Roshan, and I'm joined by Imran Hassan from BD Crick Time, and we're going to be talking about Bangladesh in the Asia Cup. We've played Sri Lanka, we've won. It's all going quite well so far, isn't it, Imran?
Yes, it is.
And Imran, it's your second time on the podcast, so thank you very much for coming back on.
Thank you for inviting me. It's always a pleasure.
So let's talk about Bangladesh in our first group stage match against Sri Lanka. A massive 137-run win. Imran, I don't think it could have gone any better.
It's really amazing to start like it that way. Our start was really impressive, and it will boost us in our rest of the matches.
I mean, it started terribly. Like, when we lost two wickets in the first over, I started to remember. Do you remember? I think it was the 2003 World Cup when I think Chaminder Vaas, I think, took a hat trick on the first three balls of the game, and we were 0-3. Do you remember that?
Yes.
It reminded me of that, and I was like, it was all happening again. And then with Malinga back in the team, who I've not seen play cricket for about a year.
But we have improved a lot, so I had a belief that we can come back at any cost. And Mushfiq and Mithun set the way for ourselves.
Let's talk about Mushfiq Rahim then, 144, which is his highest ever one-day score. It was an innings we needed him to play, and once again we're relying on one of our experienced players to sort of deliver. And he didn't fail us.
He was just impressive. You know, it is not only his best score, but also highest by a Bangladeshi in Asia Cup history, and jointly second highest score in Asia Cup history. And he was injured too, so it was really outstanding effort from him.
He paced his innings so perfectly. I was looking at Twitter during his innings, and even then people were like, oh, Mushfiq Rahim, he can play well for a while, but he'll throw his wicket away. I think even then everyone was expecting him to throw his wicket away at some point, but he didn't. And 144, his last, I think those 30-odd runs in the last few overs were a game changer. I think it changed the mentality. I think it boosted the team. I think it made a score look formidable, because I think actually when we lost the ninth wicket before Tamim came out, which we'll talk about in a minute, I thought 230 was a score they might be able to get, but 260 felt a bit more formidable, I think. So a great performance from Mushfiq Rahim. And then the other big talking point was, of course, Tamim Iqbal. So fractured his wrist, retired hurt after facing three balls. But when we lost that ninth wicket, he came out batting with one hand. I felt so emotional watching him bat. So proud, I felt lifted. I can only imagine how the team would have felt watching Tamim Iqbal come out to bat with an injured hand.
Exactly. I became emotional at that moment. You know, 229 such a flat wicket was not enough for Bangladesh, but he played his role. He joined with Mushfiq Rahim and inspired him, as well as boosted the whole team spirit to do well. And Mushfiq also gives credit to Tamim Iqbal for his outstanding contribution and outstanding effort.
Yeah, it was definitely a boost. I think Mushfiq Rahim felt like he had a second life, because he would have walked off the pitch with 100 and something not out. But those last three overs, he went for it. It was like he was facing free hit after free hit after free hit, and he went for it. And even though he lost his wicket in the end, an undeniable boost to our score, an undeniable kind of psychological impact it had on our team in a real positive sense. Also, I have a question. Tamim Iqbal, I know he faced three balls and then he was injured, and then he came back. Still not out. Does that count as carrying your bat? Because he was there at the start, he was there at the end. Technically, even though he didn't do anything in the middle, does it still count?
No, not really. Because he was not carried throughout the innings.
If so, it's the best carrying of a bat ever. Faced four balls, not out. It's great. Great for his average. Well, not great, it's only two runs. Can you imagine? And also a good performance from Mohammed Mithun, I thought. So Mohammed Mithun, obviously, in the team because, in place of Sabir, I guess, and batted higher up the order than I expected. He came in at number 5, which was a surprise. I thought Mamadou would come in at 5, Mossadegh 6, and then maybe Mithun at 7, but they tried him at number 5, and I think he delivered. It was 63 of 68 balls, so a really good sort of run out for him. And I think where we're looking for someone to maybe stabilise that lower middle order, he could be the man.
He's such a kind of player who can bat in any kind of position. He can open for you for Bangladesh. He can bat in middle order. He can bat in lower order. That's the reason why he have been included in the squad of Asia Cup. And he is and team management is thinking, making plan about him for the upcoming World Cup.
Well, that's the point, because if he is so versatile, then do we think in the next match, with Tamim Iqbal now out of the rest of the Asia Cup, will it be him and Litun Das opening for Bangladesh, or do you think there'll be more shuffling?
No, I think Mominul Haq will be included in the playing 11, and Tamim Iqbal will be replaced by him.
Do you think he'll open?
I think so.
Mominul Haq? Really?
I think so. Really, because Minhajul, the chief selector of Bangladesh, rebuilt it that he is taken to the squad as the backup of Tamim Iqbal and Nazmul Hussain Shanto. But there is little chance of making debut for Shanto. I think it would be Mominul Haq who will be included in the playing 11 in the next match.
And you think what, Litun Das and Mominul will open?
Exactly.
That'd be interesting. That'd be like a brand new combination that I don't think we've ever seen before. It'd be the first time they'll have opened for Bangladesh. And then our bowlers had, I think, quite a good outing, actually, because they were playing in... Okay, they were bowling second, so it wasn't as hot as it was during the day. But when you look at a scorecard and you see that your bowlers have all had, like, all taken a wicket, a handful of them have taken 2 wickets, they've all been quite economical. Everyone, no one gave away more than 4.5 runs and over. It was a really good performance by our bowlers all round. And that, going into World Cup, is, I think, what we want to see from them. We want to see wickets across the board, consistency, people like Mushroff leading from the front. I genuinely couldn't fault them.
Exactly. Impressive work done by the bowlers. They maintain the scoreboard pressure and continuing bowling in good spots and taking wickets. It is really a good sign for our cricket. They all are boosted by Tamim Iqbal. That's why they played like that.
Of course, yeah, it would have been the last thing they saw. I was just reading now, Issam did an article on Crick Info where he's spoken to Tamim Iqbal, and it sounds like there were moments of comedy in the changing room as people were helping Tamim to get ready. Someone had to put it in his box, someone had to cut open a glove. It sounded like a real team effort, but I think it's a moment that people will talk about for years and years to come. I think when they talk about legendary Bangladeshi moments, and we tell our kids or we find clips on YouTube, I think the moment Tamim Iqbal walked out to bat with one hand is going to be up there, right up there with the moments we talk about. And I know it's easy to say that because it's fresh in my mind and I still feel happy and we've just won, but it's just such, I think it'll go on to become such an iconic moment.
It was really unbelievable things. Tamim Iqbal walks in with a fractured left wrist. It was such an unbelievable to me. And that decision was taken by him, and Mashrafi Murtaza helped him by cutting the gloves to ready him. It was really unbelievable.
So let's have a look then to our next game. Now, because it's 3 teams in a group, so Bangladesh in Group B with Sri Lanka and Afghanistan, a 1-win doesn't necessarily guarantee you passage to the next round. If Sri Lanka beat Afghanistan, then it's still everything to play for because Bangladesh could still go out. If Afghanistan beat Sri Lanka, then I think more or less Sri Lanka are out. But it's not a game that we can rest. Now, there's been some rumours that they might rest Mushfiqur Rahim for the Super Fours. Obviously, Tamim Iqbal's not going to be there. How do we look ahead at this Afghanistan match? Because they have the upper edge against us. They, you know, they beat us 3-0 the last time we faced each other. Obviously, there are differences now because we've got Steve Rhodes, we've got Neil McKenzie, we've got some more stability, a coaching team. But how should Bangladesh be preparing for that game?
You know, T20 and ODI are different two formats, and Bangladesh is very much strong in ODI. And so but I think it won't be tough for Bangladesh, and they have had a very good recent past performances, and the match, the comprehensive win against Sri Lanka will definitely lead them against Afghanistan.
Well, I'm looking forward to the game, and I now feel quite confident, to be honest. I think Bangladesh could go on to win it. Make a call, Imran. Who's going to win the Asia Cup?
I think it's Bangladesh.
I like your style. Imran, thank you so much for joining me. Absolute pleasure to catch up with you again after so long.
Thank you also for inviting me.
And thank you for listening to the Bangla Cricket Podcast. If you have any thoughts on the Asia Cup or Bangladesh cricket in general, send me an email, podcast@banglacricket.co.uk, and I'll see you for the next one very soon.